Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. We are a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I am his servant for this work on this field where he desires to build for himself a group of people both in Israel and in the church who will belong to him and to no one else. A group of people who are going to bear good fruit at an industrial level for him. A group of people that he can use and through whom he can express himself without hindrances. This ministry is a call to true Israel and the church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. When I'm talking about true Israel, I'm talking about those whom are still scattered around the world. Those whom are found in the United States, in the black population of the United States, in the black population of the different Caribbean islands, and in the original Indians, for example, of the Americas, all over the place in the Americas, they still are there today. Also, other tribes were moved or ran away and went on exile in other parts of the world. Israel is all over the world. There is not a continent that does not have the people of Israel on it. These are the people I am talking about, just so that we are clear. And so today I'm going to go into a series, the first part of a series of visions that the Lord gave me on August 3rd, 2024, that all pertain to the regathering of Israel. This is a series that is titled The Second Exodus. If you go on the website, thefruitfactory.co, you go into the menu, you will see the title, The Second Exodus. And underneath that title, at the time of recording this broadcast on August 30th, 2024, there are 10 prophecies that have been published there already. So if you've not caught up with all of them, please go to the website to read what has been proclaimed by the Lord. The Lord is not going to slow down the influx of these prophecies, and they are coming in a very intense way. I am not even really able to put them out as quickly as I receive them. That's why the Lord made me create the newsletter called The Fruitful Report. It is a newsletter in which every Tuesday of every week you will receive a recap of all of the prophecies that were published the week before, so that you will know exactly what the Lord is saying and at which frequency he's saying it, or at least at which frequency I am able to publish it according to how he commands me to do it. And you will not miss words that are coming out of the Lord's mouth. You cannot afford to not be informed, to not be receiving from the Lord constant information, not in these end times. That is why he chose me, set me apart, trained me, and then sent me to create this ministry and to be speaking into this microphone right now. And he is the one who asked me to create that newsletter. And he said it precisely, my children need to know what I am saying, because a lot of information is coming through. Some prophecies are coming with instructions attached to them. So you do not want to miss these prophecies Not at all, especially if you are listening to this and you are part of Israel and the church. So, today's prophecy is titled The First Census. And it was given to me in a vision on August 3rd, in a very long sequence of visions that I could not put into a single prophecy because they tell different stories that are interconnected, and they would have made for maybe a 6-hour audio broadcast or for a 15,000 word prophecy article on the blog. So the first vision began in a very large hall, a hall that could accommodate at least 10,000 people. From my point of view, I could see the entire place as if I was watching from above. And it was packed with people from the front to the back. Every single seat was booked. It looked a bit like a stadium. It looked more like a stadium in the way that it was spread out, because the pulpit was at the middle of the hall and the entire, all of the seats were around the pulpit. So it was a 360 degrees sort of layout for the seats. And in the middle of the row of the hall was the pulpit. And so, as I was watching, as if I was from my above, I could see the entire place. At some point, my view zoomed in to the center of the place. And then I was on the pulpit. I could observe everything that was going on there. And the Lord brought my eyes to see the young man who was speaking into the microphone. This was a black man from the tribe of Judah. He was teaching and he was giving revelation to the people. He was talking about the story of the Hebrews, the story of the people of the book, what they have gone through. And he was giving much information, historical information, biblical information. I mean, he was giving his all. He was speaking and he spoke with authority. He spoke with wisdom. He spoke with anointing. This young man was anointed. And as I was watching him speak in that way, the Lord put it in my spirit to know that this young man will be one of great influence, not only in the United States or in Europe or in Africa or anywhere, but in the entire earth during the second exodus of Israel. And every person from every nation will listen to this young man, whether they are Hebrew or Gentile. And a lot of people will be brought to the Lord through this young man, even the people that were not believers before, whether Hebrew or Gentile. And as I was watching this and receiving this revelation from the Lord, my point of view changed, and now I was at the exit door of the hall. And I saw that there were people who had been listening but did not believe in what the man was saying at all. So they left, and the Lord showed me how they were walking out of the hall, and they were calling this man all kinds of names. A lot of mocking, a lot of undermining him, a lot of belittling him in these people's tongues, in their mouths. This is what was coming out of their mouths. And what I found really sad as I was watching these people walk out is that there were a lot of Hebrews who also walked out, people of Judah particularly, who turned their backs on what this young man was saying about them, about their forefathers. But they turned their back and they were like, whatever. A lot of mockery is really what stood out for me. And this came from the people of Judah. And there were also other people, other tribes of Israel, But what stood out for me was the people of Judah. Black people walking out on this man and mocking him. So at first, as the people were walking out, the guards wanted, you know, and the event organizers were like, no, you have to wait until the end or else it's going to create disorganization and we do not want to mess up the entire event. There are a lot of people here. Please just wait till the end. So they were trying to keep the people inside. And then they decided, you know what, if you want to leave, then just leave. So the door was basically open for anyone to go out if they wished. And this is when the number of people began to drastically increase the amount of people who were leaving. As they saw other people leave, they also stood up and left. And so I watched people leaving in much, much bigger numbers. And the Lord brought me back into the hall itself where I had first been watching from the above of the entire place, that I could see the entire place from where I was standing. And I realized that half the hall had emptied itself. Half the hall had emptied itself. Only half the people that had been there from the beginning remained. And I felt so sad about it because I knew that this was a young man who had been trained for this. He had been chosen. He had been anointed by God himself. He was not speaking empty words, but he was giving people the truth. And to see that half of the people left, among which a big portion were the people of Israel, that was heartbreaking. And then the entire scene shifted. Now I was at a certain place where the people of Israel were supposed to stand so that they could be recorded. It was a kind of census. So the people who had listened to that young man and had been convicted by what they had listened to had the opportunity to record themselves. And this was a specific event where you could record putting your name and they were to be put into buses, and the whole process of regathering would begin. But my knowledge watching this new setting was that a big portion of the people that were there had been there because they had listened to that man. They had listened to his teachings, to his different conferences and so forth, watched him online and so forth. So that's how they ended up there. So the technique for this census was that it was very easy. There was a counter. There was an usher at that counter. And you just came in and gave your name and gave which tribe you came from in Israel, and you were recorded and put into the space, you know, of those who have given their names and are waiting to be loaded into these buses that I saw there and be transported onto the first step of the actual trip back to the promised land. And the technique by which one would know that they are Israel in this particular census was by revelation from Yah himself. Yah made me understand that he would use different ways to inform his people of their true heritage. And for most of them, it would be through an intimate experience, maybe spiritually or physically, that they would know without a doubt that they are Israel. And they would also know which tribe they come from, who their forefather out of the 12 brothers was. That is how I knew personally. The Lord just told me, basically, you are Israel, you are Judah. That's how I knew. And when I knew immediately, he told me that, I was like, okay, all right, okay. Because I was listening to a teaching about it on YouTube. And I don't ask me how I landed on that teaching, but the Lord just brought it to my attention because I do not really spend a lot of time on YouTube. I only go there when the Lord has something for me to watch there. I do not spend time consuming media that much. And I ended up on YouTube and I started watching this series of teachings. They had nothing to do with the Hebrews and Israel or whatnot. They had to do with the spiritual realm, you know, spiritual experiences of people's spiritual experiences, witchcraft, sorcery and stuff like that. Because if you have spent more than 6 months in an African country, then you know these kind of truths, that this is normal life on this continent. It is not my habitual place of residence any longer, but it is where I grew up. And the fact that this is my background makes my daily life different from those who are Westerners and do not have to deal with the things that I have to deal with, especially considering this kind of calling on my life. There is much spiritual warfare that is attached to this calling of being the Lord's messenger. And also, when you hear from God, when you are a prophet, he shows you all of it. And you need to be operating at a different level in your capacity to pray, in your capacity to engage in spiritual warfare. Maybe when he shows you things that are happening for nations, and you have to engage in spiritual warfare for nations, for cities, for tribes, and so forth. So I do spend a considerable amount of time just making sure that I am keeping my database up to date when it comes to prayer, you know, spiritual realities, and so forth. And this was the case. This is what I was watching on YouTube. It had nothing to do with the Hebrews and so forth. But somehow I came to that topic and I was listening and listening and listening. I knew, I had an idea that there was the Black Hebrews movement in the United States, but I had never given it much thought, never, until I did. In that moment when I started listening. So the people who were telling the story of the different spiritual experiences and how they got themselves out of these situations where they were trapped in hell and stuff like that, they began talking about the Hebrews, talking about biblical history and so forth. They just kind of drifted into that unexpected. And that's when I listened to this for the first time with close attention, right? And as I was listening, I just got more and more convicted. I was like, I know I'm listening to the truth. First of all, the Lord would not bring me to a place where they would lie to me, because I'm watching this because the Lord brought me here. Second of all, everything that is being said is completely logical. It makes 100% sense to me. And I had received shortly before that quite a large amount of revelation from the Lord about my ancestors, my direct ancestors. So my grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather, this kind of ancestors, not the bloodline all the way back to Jacob. So it's like the Lord was, I was in this season where I was rediscovering who I am, like in the natural sense, because my identity, my real identity is founded and grounded in Christ. But there are things that happen when you start engaging in spiritual warfare that you need to know. You need to know which grandma went and made the covenant with Satan to sacrifice all her last born daughters or all her firstborn children or sacrifice her daughters and great granddaughters' wombs, you know, stuff like that. These are things that are done on this African continent. It is done very, very often. So you would see families that have specific issues generation after generation. These are generational curses. Even in the West, people do have it, but they just do not give it any attention at all. You live in a family where everyone has divorced. Maybe just one or two people have not divorced. There is a covenant in place that Satan destroys your marriages, because marriage is a blessing from God. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. So if you're not able to find a wife first, and second, when you do find her, the marriage falls apart, then there is a curse. This thing of 50% marriages fail, these are generational curses. It has nothing. It's not natural at all. And today, the percentage is definitely much higher than that, considering that half the marriages are not even male and female any longer. So I had been in this kind of journey for the few weeks that preceded this discovery. And I was listening, and it was getting more and more interesting. And then the Lord just said, you are Judah. And I said, oh, am I? Am I Judah? All right, I didn't know that. And I shared the video and the whole thing with my sister. And I told my sister, if I'm Judah, you're definitely Judah. But she was like, you know what, we're just going to be sure. Let's just be sure. But I will accept it for what it is, you know, because the family history and who had a kid with whom, very, very complicated. You guys, you think you know your families, but when God will start opening your eyes for you to see the kind of secrets that your parents have never told you, that your grandparents have never told you, you will be shocked at the fact that your family is not actually the family that you thought you had. I'm talking about no matter where you come from, there are skeletons that are buried so deep, you need divine revelation to go and dig them up so that you can do a proper foundation. You can pray for your foundations, for your foundations, your natural foundations, the foundations of your background, so that you can have a proper prayer program to restore your foundations in the Lord, so that when you go and you start your family, if you're not married, you do not have children any longer, it will be with clean and orderly foundations, that you have prayed to cleanse your bloodline, prayed to cleanse the crimes and the sins of your father's house, prayed to cleanse the family tree, or at least to the extent that you will not be impacted by anything that they choose to do with their lives, because there is such a thing called blood. And blood, your code, it is unbreakable. If you have the same blood with some people, you are going to inherit their demons. You will inherit the covenants that they had in their lives, whether you want it or not. This is a spiritual principle. So it is your responsibility to sit down and to break all of the bloodline links that may be leaking into your lives. There are things you're suffering through that it was never something that you did wrong, but it was something that your great-great-grandmother did wrong. So I was going through these programs. I was working on what the Lord calls foundations. And this came as an additional, you know, piece of information for me to know. And the minute I heard it, I believed it. I did not need a blood test. I do not need any of that. If God tells me something, it is Bible to me because it is literally God. So there is not any other source of truth in this world but Him. And so I told my sister. And then we're like, wow, we are Judah. We are actually the people of the Bible. Wow. And then something interesting happened. My sister had a vision of her own. She had a vision where, the Lord has given me permission to share her dream. She has a vision where there are people who are standing in a circle, very happy, you know, very cheerful. And they are standing in the large circle. It is a crowd. And the Lord is standing in the middle. And the Lord has this list in his hands where he's reading out names. And so he reads her name and calls her. So when he calls your name, you come forward and then he tells you. So when she came forward to the middle of the circle where he was standing, and he said, "You are Israel. You are from Judah." And people around erupted, you know, clapping, being happy and so forth. Her herself, she was so happy. She was like, okay. And then she woke up from that dream and she understood that, okay, the Lord just wanted me to have that extra layer of confirmation that I am indeed his people, as the Bible says it. So the Lord told me that, as I was watching this scene of the census, this is how people were then coming forward to say, my name is this and that, giving, you know, basic information, and you give your tribe. And the Lord said that a big part of Israel will receive this via revelation, that it will not be some other source of information. It will not be scientific. So a scientific source of information, even though he told me that there are certain countries, as this second exodus begins to be, you know, to have more and more people that are interested in it, more and more people who want to know, as it grows, as the movement starts to grow and it starts making more and more noise, because this is something that the entire world will watch happen. The Hebrews being brought back to their home will be a worldwide event. It is not something that will happen in secret. Quite the contrary, as we are going to learn from these prophecies. If you go and you read it on the website, it is already revealed. The person who will proclaim the return and the one who will finance it is revealed. How the United States will react to it is revealed. Just go under the banner of the second exodus. There are at least 10 prophecies already published there on this topic. And then 10 prophecies on one topic is a lot. The Lord went in with this thing. And I've not even published all of it. There are still prophecies about this process of the second exodus that I have not published yet, that I received at the beginning of August, end of July, around that time. So these people were coming forward and they were giving their names and so forth. And there was a teenage blonde girl. She knew very well that she was not of Israel, but decided to lie and say that she was. When she got admitted, she was so proud of herself. She thought that she could trick people, since the vetting process itself was not done in an invasive or coercive way. There was nothing that was saying, let's fact check this, or let's do blood test or whatever. That was not the case at that point, where people were getting counted and put aside to be carried off for the beginning of the trip. So she was very proud of herself having gone through the checkpoint and having gotten into the list. And as she did that, other people who knew that she was false but saw her go through became, you know, grew in their own personal confidence to do the same. So more and more people began to do the same, pretending to be Hebrews. They went and they gave their names and they walked in into the line of those who will be waiting for the transportation that will take the Hebrews to the first part of the trip back to the Promised Land. And among these people who had been faking it, let's put it that way, there was a black man, an African man. He was not of Israel, because it's not every black person that is of the tribe of Israel. They came into exile in Africa, especially the tribe of Judah. Primarily the tribe of Judah fled because they were the south kingdom, and how it was positioned, it was easier for them geographically to flee from into the south, the southwest. That is why you will read in the Old Testament why they were constantly having interactions with Egypt, because it was just much easier. It was closer. Do you know that the distance between Egypt and Jerusalem is like a 30-minute flight? The Israelite did 40 years in that desert, but it is a 30-minute flight. If you were to walk, you would arrive in maybe 4 or 5 days, tops. But it took them 40 years. The Lord made them walk around the whole Middle East, basically. The entire desert, they walked around it and then came back and possessed the land, because he wanted all of them to die. Very simple. He was going to kill all of them just in one strike. And Moses begged him that, how are you just going to kill them? What will the neighboring nations say that you took these people, you brought them out here just to kill them? And Moses asked God to repent of what he wanted to do. And he did, partially because he still did not change his stance that they would not see the Promised Land. But he said, you know what, I'm just going to give you time. Instead of dying in one strike, you will die over 40 years. All of you will vacate my people, and I will take your children into the land. But you will not see this land. He swore it by his right hand, and he fulfilled the promise. He always does. The same way that the tribulation, we will live through it. He will fulfill what he has written in his word. So this black man was very, very happy. He was grinning. If you would have seen this large grin on his face, that he got away with it. And then I saw one elder in the community, one elder of Israel. He came forward and he looked at the people that had been standing waiting for the bus to come and get them, and he was very skeptical. He was just something spiritual. His spiritual discernment was telling him that there are imposters in the group. There are people who are lying here and they are trying to get away with it. So he did not act immediately. What he did was that he just went and stood at the registration stand where people were giving their names and everything. And he just kept observing and watching the crowd, watching the people that came in and went out, and so forth. And then I saw that after some time spent observing, he called the prophet of the Lord. There was a prophet in their midst as well. She was not in the crowd or whatever. He called for her, and I just saw that she came into the frame to talk to him. So she had been somewhere else, but not too far from where this was happening. And this was a black woman of Judah who responded and came to him. And they began talking very, you know, it was almost whispering, really. And he was telling her about what he had noticed, that he is not really sure. And as he did that, he pointed out the young blonde girl specifically as someone lying. It is not that there were not blonde people there. It is that this one just stood out. And he asked the prophet to inquire from the Lord about the matter, because he just really feels that this young girl is faking it. And so after they spoke, the prophet went to speak to the blonde girl. Very quick conversation, less than 5 seconds. But I understood, as I watched, I understood that in that moment of speaking to the young girl, the prophet received confirmation from Yah that this girl is not an Israelite. So she just walked away from the girl and began scanning people, walking around the room as if she was patrolling the place, not talking to anyone, just looking. And she was walking that way and looking. And a group of people just started, one after the other, dropping dead on the spot. All of these liars, they just started dropping. The blonde girl dropped to the floor. And then the black guy I talked about dropped. They just started dropping one after the other. She didn't have to talk to anyone or anything like that. These are people who had tried to abuse Yah's holiness by so blatantly lying about their heritage. They fell dead. And the people that were left, they were trembling with fear. Some of them did not even really believe that these are people dying next to them. They had to go and check for a pulse, and there was no pulse. And they jumped, and they were like, oh my goodness, she's dead. It was actually funny. It was very funny, because these are people who clearly did not really know the God that they were about to embark on a journey with. They came unprepared. And what a shame to come to something like this unprepared. The Lord has done this so many times in the past, in the Bible. How can this really surprise you? Because you have not been reading your Bible. You have not been getting ready. So these people were shook. The only people who were not shook were the prophet, the elder, and the usher that had been collecting people's names. To them, it was, you know, yeah. Why did you lie? You can't really lie about something like that. Not in these times. So this is an indication that the Lord is not going to play with anyone about this process. It is going to be like it was in the desert. He did this with people in the desert. If it was not that you would fall down and die, they would stone you. They would exile you. Or the earth will open up and you would get swallowed. Your entire tent will disappear just like that. So, after these people fell down and died, this prophet, addressed them directly. She said that no one can mock God. And then she prophesied a warning from the Lord that anyone who thought about coming forward with a lie to join the group of Israelites to be regathered should kill those ideas in their minds now, because he will not tolerate foolishness and blatant disobedience. And you know, the Lord is very, very protective over this issue, this whole thing with the Israelites. They have a very long history, thousands upon 6,000 years of history. And from the beginning, when he called Abraham, that love that he had for Abraham is still intact today. He's never played about this issue. He will never play about it. So if you think that this is going to be an entertainment event, please start updating your database, because it's not. The Lord is not going to play around with anything with regards to this process, with regard to the regathering. It is a very serious, very precious thing in his heart. This is very close to God's heart. If you did not know, now you've listened to it here, and now you know. It is very, very precious to his heart. And there are things he will not tolerate. And we will see in the future prophecies just how prompt things are happening on this journey, the second Exodus, the trip back. Things are happening in an intense and very prompt way. If you've listened to the prophecies that I have made about life in true, in restored Israel, I've made a few, I've published it in broadcast already. You can go and listen to them. Godly Marriages, part 1 and 2. Guilty on All Counts. You can go and listen. There is another one that is titled, The Lord Disciplines the One He Loves, where those prophecies expose how people will drop dead in the restored Israel, those who want to defile the land and defile the people, whilst others will be sent out on exile. Exactly the way it was with the Israelites that we read in this book, the holy book, the Bible. By the way, please forgive the background noise. There are birds that get quite loud here. So after the prophet prophesied in that way, everyone listened. Clearly, there were the dead bodies there for everyone to see that this is not a joke. So everyone took what she said very, very seriously. And that's where they were loaded. So the ones that remained and that were legit Israelites were loaded into a bus and embarked on the journey. They were going to some other place before the journey began. That's what I know. But it was already the beginning of the journey for them. So this is where the visions for this first part end. And in this prophecy, Yah is showing us the very early stages of the regathering of Israel. He reveals that many will come to the knowledge of their belonging to Israel through both natural and supernatural encounters and means. Many will get this revelation from the Lord himself through spiritual encounters and confirmations, whilst others may know this through relatives who have gotten revelations of their own, the way that was the case with me, that I got the revelation and I told my sister. But my sister also, the Lord did that extra step. He took that extra step with her, right? And I believe that everyone, even if you get something from a friend, from a cousin, from a sister or a brother, the Lord will visit you to confirm some of you listening to this have already gotten that revelation, and it was not through a blood test. But a time will be coming when these tests will exist. But by that time, many would have already known. Many would have known through just spiritual encounters with the Lord Himself, through a dream, a vision, a conversation, or whatever the case may be. And they will take it as the truth. They would accept that truth. However, there will be who will just reject it. They will completely and utterly reject it. They won't even listen to what the servant of God has to say till the end. And that is indicated in this vision by the half of the crowd walked out from the sermon, from the preaching and the teaching. And that's another element that we must retain from this prophecy, is the fact that there will be a man of God who is going to be renewed. When I tell you that this was massive, it looked like a stadium. And by the way, from the way that I watched him talk and the way that the Lord gave me the revelation about who he was, this is going to be someone that all of us will know. We will know him from watching him online, from watching him in person. He's going to be a big deal in the world. He's going to be one of the main voices of this revolution, if not the main voice, at least in terms of teaching about this truth, in terms of the kind of exposure that his words, that the Lord will give him, so that he can proclaim these truths that the Lord himself would have taught him and would have given him to proclaim. And the Lord, Yah, he confirmed to me that this man is alive today. It is not going to be a baby or someone that a woman still has to give birth to. Not only is he alive, he is an adult. He is an adult. He is getting prepared and trained by Yah in the secret place for this specific purpose. As I record this broadcast on August 30th, 2024. The Lord will bring millions to his ministry, and they will listen to what the Lord is saying through him. And the Lord actually showed me his face and everything. I know what he looks like. If I'm to look at him, I will be able to say, this is the man the Lord showed me. He was of Judah. Another thing that is quite interesting is that he was not only talking to the Hebrews, he was talking also to the non-Hebrews, the ones that the Bible calls the Gentiles. They were listening to him. Because remember, the regathering is for any person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Israel will be the priority, will be the first one to go through it. And when we observe even the way that seats were distributed in the temple in Jerusalem, the way that the Lord gave the instructions to Ezekiel that this portion that is directly linked to the temple should be for the ministers. And then you put the different tribes after this. And then. You see that Israel was always prioritized because Israel is the first fruit. Israel is God's first fruit. But the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, is part of the regathering. They are part of this journey. They are part of it. They also will be brought to the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham. The Word of God talks about it extensively in the New Testament. Apostle Paul explained this in many different ways. But from my vision, both on the Gentile side and on the Jew side, or on the Hebrew side, half of them didn't make it. Which is tragic, if you ask me. They did not have the necessary faith to believe in the Lord's promise of restoration for Israel. They did not have the faith. They did not have the Holy Spirit inside of them that would speak to them, or that would at least connect them to what was being said. They did not even listen till the end. So among the people who were listening, more than half did not listen to the end. And amongst the other half, even a smaller portion then went and said, okay, I'm going to get registered. Something else that this prophecy exposes is the fact that there will be people who will think that because the census will not involve, you know, show me your blood test or any kind of natural mean of judgment, they will think that because it is a supernatural way of revelation, then they can abuse the system because there is not a test tube that you're given that you need to pass the test to show that your blood is Hebrew blood. In this vision, I did not see that. Each person came with their revelation and told it to the usher and wrote down their names and went about the census. And the Lord is showing in advance, because there will be people who will listen to these prophecies. As that time approaches, more and more people will want to listen. I already know the Lord already has laid it all out for me. He already told me, just put them out. Those who will be late will be late. Those who will only find out will only be interested in this when we have started the actual process of going to do the census. It will be too late for you to get ready. So you will act like that young boy and that young girl who thought that they could get away with it because you've never really known God. And then you'll go and die there. Or you'll be like the ones who saw them drop dead and they were shaking and trembling in fear and thinking, oh my goodness, what happened? Who killed them? Well, you don't know you're there, but you don't really know what you're getting yourself into because you did not prepare. You know, I'm here for those who will prepare in advance. By the time the world catches up truly to this ministry, by the grace of the Most High, we would be thoroughly prepared for what is going to begin happening in a tangible, very visual, very mediatized way. And this prophecy shows that there will be a transportation. There will be a journey. It's not going to be that, are you an Israelite? Yes. Book your ticket, land at Tel Aviv, and we'll catch you there and bring you to Jerusalem. It's not going to be that. It will be a journey. The way that our forefathers had a journey, we will have our journey. But our journey is going to be quite something, won't it? We'll probably have beasts to be battling in the wilderness because it would happen in the midst of the beast system. It will also happen in the midst of aliens being here, Nephilim living out in the open. We are in the end times. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, it will be like in the days of Noah. In that day, it will be like in the days of Noah. And what was in the days of Noah? There were Nephilim, there were giants, there were creatures that we've not seen for millennia. Animals that we've not seen for millennia.
Sirens and mermaids are going to be walking on dry land with their fishtails, not as human beings, because they already walk on dry land as human beings. They just disguise themselves. They can switch. They can shape. They are like shapeshifters. And a lot of these creatures, all of them are already here. They just shapeshift. So you can talk to a hybrid, talk to a Nephilim, talk to a creature of the sea. You think he's your maths teacher or your chemistry tutor, but he's actually a demon who can shapeshift and who hates your guts so deeply. Each time he sees you, he wants to eat you. He wants to cook you. They eat human flesh. So these are things that are going to be our reality, okay, on that trip. So when I tell you, when I say, that's why I speak here with no filter, because we do not have time to do the weak stuff. You get the weak, sugary stuff all over the internet. You're not going to get to that here. No. The fruit factory. Jesus Christ himself will take you in this ministry and purge you until you will become a fruitful branch. He will prune, cut off those extra branches that do nothing for you. He will tailor you into, mold you like a potter molds his product. And it's actually the title of the next prophecy. It's called The Potter's Workshop. That's exactly the image that the Lord gave me. When we get to that prophecy, we are going to go through the process. Or you can already read that for yourself if you go to the website, thefruitfactory.co. Another thing that is memorable and noticeable in this is that there will be a body of ministers who are going to be involved in conducting this process and overseeing it. I saw an usher. I saw true prophets of Yah. When I tell you this woman, she just stood there. She was looking at people and they fell down and died. Listen. This will not, if you still have difficulties catching up, please catch up right now. Please catch up right now as you listen to this. Go back and read the stories in the Genesis and the Exodus and the Deuteronomies and the Joshuas. Go and refresh your mind, because that is what we will go through. Read the stories of the Elishas, Elijahs, who killed 400 men with his bare hands to save God's honor and to humiliate that witch Jezebel and to scatter her plans, so that they would still be reminded that there is a God in Israel. The Lord will remind you of that. And if he needs to remind you of that with your life, you will be reminded with your life. And guess where you will go after you die that way? That's right. The lake of fire, where you will drink lava and burn in hot rocks until the very end of eternity. So with no end, basically. So I saw the ushers, I saw the prophets, I saw the sage elders of Israel, and there will definitely be just the body of Christ as we know it. Intercessors, pastors, evangelists, teachers. This is going to be major. I am here to prepare these people. I hope that you're sharing this with people, because this is going to happen. And imagine that you're a pastor of a church and you're not keeping up with what will be happening for the church, for Israel. You've been teaching this book the Bible for 40 years, but you are not aware of what is actually going to be going on. How are you going to qualify to go to the promised land if you do not, you're not aware of what God is saying about it, you're not getting ready about it? How will you make it? This is how people would die in that wilderness. Lack of preparation. And you listening to this, why are you not sharing it with them? You want to get to the promised land alone. I personally, I gain nothing from you sharing or not sharing. Because my only job, look, my only job is to write these things down, publish them, and then come here and read them out loud. All of the commentary I am providing, I don't even have to do that. The explanation, I don't have to do that. My own, I could sit here and just read the dream, read the scripture, pack up and leave. I have done my job. I have qualified and I will receive my reward. But I really, really care that our people will make it. I truly care. I pray about these things. I do not take these things lightly. So if you're listening to this and you can definitely tell that it is God speaking, why are you not sharing it? Why are you not sharing it with others, with the church and Israel? Because it's both of us that are included. This is going to be a very real thing. If you think I'm like, go and look at the playlist on the blog. The banner, the second Exodus, there are 10 prophecies there. I've only been publishing these prophecies for maybe two weeks or 3 weeks. For less than 3 weeks have I been working on these prophecies. But we are at 35 or 40. I don't know. I don't know yet. And it's not even a third of the prophecies that I already have received from the Lord. You think I will sit here and tell you about how Israel is going to return to the promised land out of my own fabrications in my mind, when even saying that current Israel is not true Israel could get me banned from these platforms, calling me anti-Semitic? The only reason this thing has not been shut down yet is because God is behind it. You know, they hate anything that comes contrary to what those, that synagogue of Satan tells people. The Lord calls them the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2 verse 9, Revelation 3 verse 9. Me speaking this way, telling people that they are fake, telling people that they are the synagogue of Satan, Satan worshippers, and that they will be killed by God. This is the definition of what today's society calls hate speech. And if it was not God behind the website, behind this channel, it would have been shut down the second I published the very first audio. But it will remain. It will stand in the name of Jesus. Because God has things to say and he's going to say what he has to say. No one will stand in the way of it. In the name of Jesus. If you still think I am playing here, I have a life. Anyone were to find out, and they know already, they know it. I have nothing to hide. I belong to Jesus Christ. What can you do to me? They will listen to me and call me crazy. I don't care. They will listen to this and call me crazy. And I do not care, because I know who sent me. So if you think, if you still think this is some joke, I see you guys listening. I know you're listening. I see the analytics, the statistics. If you still think this is a joke, please strap yourself up, because you are up for a rude awakening when that time will come. And you are among those who have actually found this ministry at such an early stage. It means that the Lord has something special for you. If you found this ministry at such an early age and you despise it and you reject it, you will have an account to give to God. Because there are many who will find it much later and they will not have had the time that you had and you despised. They wouldn't have had that time to sober up and actually begin the process to make sure that when that time comes, they will qualify. So, something that is very interesting in this prophecy is that part where half the people left. And there is actually a scripture. It's found in Zechariah 13, where the Lord himself tells us about how many people will make it. Zechariah 12 and 13 talk about the liberation of Judah. And Judah is primarily the black population of the United States. The people, the black people that were carried off on ships, that is Judah. But part of them remained on the African continent, which was my case. I'm not an American. I've been to America, but I'm not an American. But I'm of Judah because I was part, my lineage remained on the continent, even though we suffered being despised and all of that. You know, there are such tribes in Africa. Depending on where you are, you will notice that in certain countries, there are certain tribes that are frowned upon. They kind of cast you off and cast you. You do not get the same opportunities. You will never find your way around having a government job, for example. And people will hate you for no reason. And so you intermarry within your own tribe because you know that if I marry another tribe, that person could kill me in my sleep and I wouldn't know. Very serious. But that wasn't my case or our cases in our family. It depends on the parent. If your parents is very strict on it, it depends. But these are people's realities for certain African tribes. If you're from Africa, you will be nodding in agreement at what I'm talking about right now. So we lived through it. We didn't go off to slavery, thank goodness. But what the law talks about in Deuteronomy 28, the other parts of that, very, very, very well, it happened and it is still happening to these tribes today. So there is this scripture in Zechariah 13 from verse 7. This is the context of the liberation of Judah. And this is what the Lord says here. He says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord." Listen closely. "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God." So the Lord is saying that he's giving you the memo that you have to be ready for this because 2/3 of you are not even going to go through the refiner's fire. The refiner's fire is the journey through the wilderness. That's where he's going to refine, to prune, to purge, to mold, right? So before you even go there, you get there, only 1/3 will make it there. Are you listening to the word of the Lord? Please listen to the word of the Lord. So, you see that the half the people who rejected that, what do you think their fate will be?
What do you think it will be? I'll let you guess, okay? I'll let you guess. So, I will insist. Jeremiah 23, verse 4 to 3. The Lord talks about his remnant. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. So if you think I am still here out of, I don't know, a hobby, to make up stories about Israel, make up stories about the Bible, create visions of my own to talk to you, please, God said this thing and it is happening. If you're still struggling to realize that we are in the end times, what can I do for you? Go and read Matthew 24 and you tell me if you do not see those signs here and now. Go and read Revelation. Start with the seals, Revelation 6, and tell me if you do not see those signs right now. Open your eyes. Unblock your ears. This is no joke. This is happening. As soon as it is published here, consider it done. This is how the Lord does with his prophets, true prophets. There is no midway around it. Either it happens or it happens. There is no other way. So when the Lord says or shows here, there will be a specific man who will speak to the entire earth about this. It will happen. And when you'll be listening to that man a few years from now, you will remember that you heard it here first. And this is why the Lord has created prophecy. He has created prophecy so that when things come to pass, we'll be able to say and to know that this is God accomplishing his word. No other person will get that credit. No one will say, oh, he was just brought up by a good pastor at a good church. No. The Lord will be able to refer those people to these words that were published on this website on August 29th, 2024. He will refer them to this broadcast that I'm going to be pushing out today, tonight, as I publish this, as I record this. It is going out today, August 30th, 2024. Everything that will happen in Israel, the Lord would have announced it beforehand. And if you start seeing the patterns in these prophecies, it is really nothing new. There is just more detail. Because a lot of it, he already said to his servants 3,000, 4,000 years ago. I am only coming to provide additional detail for the times. For the times. So that the time, the generation would have a messenger that would proclaim to them what God is saying to their generation. So please take these prophecies seriously, please. And please share them with others. If you're not sharing it, you're denying the people who could benefit from this, that opportunity. I'm telling you, things will work so fast and people will die so much. Go and read Revelation 6, the kind of death that is coming. Just read what we just read right now. When the Lord said that, when the Lord just said, I just read it to you right now. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die. He did not say, I will not take them to the promised land. He didn't say they will stay behind. He said, they shall be cut off and die. This is why I do not play with the prophecies that I don't play with this. Because I know that people's souls are on the line here. People's lives are on the line. This is not a matter of entertainment.
This is the future of humanity. These are people's lives. So is your neighbor, is your sister, if you know that you're Judah, if you know that you are Israel, will your sister then be part of the 2/3? Doesn't she deserve the chance to at least, you know, dismiss me or dismiss what the Lord is saying here? Please share the messages. For me, my part, even if nobody listens to this, my job is only to publish. That is my job. I am the mouthpiece. I'm like a radio station. A radio station could be in one corner playing there 24/7. Nobody ever goes to that corner and nobody ever listens to it. Does it stop the radio from playing? The only person that can stop that radio from playing is the person that turned it on in the first place. The only person that will stop me from publishing these things is the Lord himself, because he's the one who put me here to do this in the first place. It does not matter if one person or two people are listening to it, but I know what is at hand. I know what is at hand. I know that people's souls, their very eternal lives, could be destroyed if they do not prepare. And I'm here to prepare. This is the role of prophets, by the way. I know that you've been so deceived with false prophecy. The church does not know what prophets are actually there to do. Prophets are always sent ahead of a major event, ahead of something that God wants to do, is getting ready to do. They are warning signals. They are trumpets. So that he who has ears to hear will hear them and save themselves from the impending doom. Jeremiah prophesied for 40 years, telling Israel the same thing. You will be destroyed. You will be exiled. You will be, Israel, repent. Repent, because God will do this to you. Repent, repent. 40 years. Did Israel repent? No, we didn't. So what happened? Exactly what he had prophesied would happen. Destruction. But God, he was there for 40 years. So if I'm supposed to speak here until I have gray hair to be telling Israel, the regathering is coming, the regathering is coming, get ready. It won't be that. I know it won't be. It will begin. It will begin sooner than we think. And the Lord has shown me everything that will happen. Not all of it, by the way. Forgive me. A part of that. The main events and stuff. And he told me that everything I'm showing you, you will live through it. You will not die before it. So it means that as long, what is a human person's lifespan? It is happening. This generation is going through it. The Lord told me that I will live through everything he has shown me about this process. And you can go and read already under the playlist or the banner. The second Exodus, there are at least 10 prophecies. Life in true Israel, there are at least 4 prophecies of the life when we will be there. Listen, if you want, you take this. If you want, you play with this. I've done my job. I've done my part as a watchman. The rest of it is your problem. You go and solve that with God. So, thank you for listening and tuning in. And I encourage you to go to the website and to read these things for yourself and to think about the fruitful report, so that you will get that weekly email to remind you of what is going on, what the Lord is saying, what you may have missed. For example, right now I'm recording this, but there are 4 or 5 prophecies that have already been published. No, actually more, 6 prophecies that are published on the website but not recorded on broadcast. And it may take me a bit of time to bring it all here, because I have other things to take care of, still related to this ministry, but in other ways. So
that is a useful resource for you. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. I am Elvira. I am the Lord's servant in His fruitful factory. And we are a call to true Israel and the church that it is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. Only the fruitful will make it. Ask yourself what fruit you have borne for the kingdom of God. If you cannot give a correct, precise, and robust answer to that question, please start fasting and praying and repenting and asking God to forgive you for your laziness and your ignorance, and ask Him to please show you, Lord, what am I supposed to get done for you? How am I going to accomplish it? What is the price that I'll have to pay for that to happen? Because there is always a price to pay. The Lord said, pick up your cross and follow me. There is a cross that you have to carry to bear your fruit. That's why people do not bear fruit, because nobody wants to carry a cross. Nobody wants to pay a price. Everybody just wants to have their way. But with Christ, you die to your way. You die to yourself. You die to your desires. And you start living for Him. He is the priority. It stops being about you. And it becomes completely and entirely about Him and no one else. If you still have personal interests that are not related to Christ, please repent. Go and start sifting. Start going through your life. What is it that I am taking for myself in which Christ is not? Did I even ask Him that I should be, if I should, I could partake in this or that activity? My book club, was it Christ? Did He give me the authorization to sit there every Sunday with those people? There may be sirens among them. There may be hybrids that you're talking to every Sunday. That's why you're defiled. And they are just waiting for the right chance to eat you and to kill you. And then who will you have to blame? Only yourself. So, I'll talk to you in the next broadcast. Goodbye.